Young Australians are statistically less likely to follow a religious tradition. But for those who do, there can be conflict between religious beliefs and social pressures, be it dating or sexual orientation. ABC reporter Siobhan Marin has been exploring this tension in an online video series called Faith and Fornication. The first episode's about Christianity, and Siobhan starts with writer and actor Gemma Bird Matheson.
I grew up with the rhetoric, love the sin, I hate the sin. You know, it's not right. If you find out that you're queer in any sense, you don't act on it. From probably around, 16, was constantly trying to solidify my idea of what is right, what's wrong, what does the Bible say about homosexuality, how do I, as a Christian, feel about people in the LGBTQIA+ community. And it's funny looking back on that now, being like, oh, the reason I wanted to know exactly where I stood was because it affected me. It's hard to grow up constantly believing that that's wrong and then realize that that's also who you are and completely just pivot. It's been a journey, and I stepped away from the church for a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I say I stepped away from the church, I don't think I stepped away from God. I think I grew up being told that, you have to be in church to have that relationship, and I don't know if I believe that anymore. I love the community that the church brings, but I still have that personal relationship with God that I don't need to be in a building constantly to have.
Within the framework of your faith, where does your sexuality fit? How do those two things for you now coexist?
Yeah. I'm still working it out. I still have so many questions. I know I'm queer. I know I'm attracted to women. And I believe that there is a God that loves me regardless. And so for me, it's just kind of walking that out every day. And sometimes I don't understand things, and sometimes I'm confused by, other people's opinions of, what the Bible says about homosexuality. But it's so, to me, the Bible, there's so much nuance in it, and there is so much context that needs to be read within. And I think people have been reading this document for thousands of years and still figuring out new things. And I'm like, of course, it's not going to be black and white. And I think that's really beautiful. I think it's really nice to be reading the Bible and constantly having new revelations.
As an Anglican deacon and theologian, Reverend Dr. Danny Trewick has been doing just that, immersing herself in the words of the Bible. In fact, she recently completed her PhD on singleness and Christianity.
I spent the first year of my research really doing as much reading and listening as I could on what the contemporary church actually says about the single Christian life. And what came out of that was really a sense that the church, I think it's inadvertently, but often tends to see marriage as the aspirational goal of the Christian life, which is actually very similar to the world around us. In terms of the Bible, the New Testament has a really positive view of singleness. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 7, actually says that he thinks singleness is better for Christians in lots of ways, because you have less divided devotions in this world. You have less concerns. You have more anxieties as a married person. And being single actually frees you up from a lot of those things. And that's certainly countercultural to the way that the church thinks today.
As a deacon, how would you explain the church's teachings on sex outside of marriage?
It's not so much that we want to tick boxes and say you must do this, you may not do that. It's actually understanding what the purpose of sex is for. And so from a Christian perspective, sex doesn't make sense outside the context of marriage. But there's also the sense of actually wanting to love people well.
How do you think the wider public views abstinence and celibacy versus how does the church view it?
The world tends to view celibacy and the abstinent life as unnatural, not just abnormal, but unnatural, something that's also unachievable. And that's partly because, or largely because, I think we have, certainly since the sexual revolution, come to see sex as kind of this basic human need. There is often a sense that it's impossible for single Christians to live celibate lives. That's not the case. I know plenty of them who are. I'm one of them myself. We have very rich and fulfilling lives. Saying no to one good thing in life doesn't mean that your life is miserable. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's sad. There are moments when it can be difficult. But there's actually a unique freedom that comes in it for many Christians. And it's something they delight in because it is part of what it means for them to live in response to Jesus. And so part of my research has been wanting to kind of rehabilitate singleness, that celibate life, as something that actually is not just commendable, but to be celebrated.
Siobhan Maron reporting, and the first episode of her series is online next Tuesday, a link at the Religion and Ethics Report homepage.